He comes as a mortal who will never die. For the laws of the gods he will ever defy. A king with no subjects, crown nor throne. In his wary hand he carries cards of flesh, fire, and bone. Imprisoned in ice for crimes of the divine. Fissures ever spreading to be broken in time.
My voice back, friends.
What's up, yeah,
you sound like yourself. When you didn't have your voice.
I know. I'm going to miss the sexy deep voice I had. But at least it doesn't
be heard.
At least it doesn't feel like I'm swallowing glass every time I talk. And I can
glass.
And I can do bad voices again.
You can do bad voices again.
I feel like you're doing badly. Well, welcome back to another episode of the 2E's Dice Bar Gaming Podcast. Last episode, we fought a tentacled horror, a creature with the ability to give you permanent insanity, which some of you are already a little insane, so I guess it's, you know, just tipping the scales there. Yeah. You all made your save on that, and...
Gladly. Oh, I barely made it.
I think it was Reen that had the... fumble. Now you are having permanent negative one until you roll
a critical.
A crit again. Okay.
A crittle?
A crittle.
Critical. Well, I did roll like one and then another one.
Yeah. I think that suffers from the it's so cool it's not thing.
The tentacle horror was defeated. You guys healed up from that and then decided it tried to make an offer with you guys. And you pretty much told it to go F itself.
And got it anyway.
And
it just took some swimming in acid.
Yeah. Solaris did got naked, so she went, everything went, all the acid went, eat all of her gear, and put some powerful spells on her, jumped in, grabbed the sword after 50 points of damage. Well, you guys can heal off screen for that. I'm assuming you're not sitting there with 19 hit points, like, oh no. My god, you guys healed her immediately after that,
after we were all done cranking it, watching her strip naked and jump in the inside.
So the reason why you had to fight this horrible thing was Teb Talib said, a wizard, the city of Paradisia is protected by a spell engine called a Mythal, and protects you from certain spells, or protects it from certain spells like fly, invisibility, spider climb, but also lets somebody know, whoever would, I guess, controls the spell engine, that intruders have been detected. And there's a spell called non-detection that will protect you from this detection. And she, or he, arranges for a woman wizard to make you some 7 scrolls. You guys made a deal to get 7, so you can memorize it. I think Solaris wanted the spell as well. And he said, sure, that sounds good. Get me the horn. It'll also make a move in the, grease the wheels, so to speak, of getting you guys smuggled into the city. He said, he was very, you think, purposely dodgy about any details with who you're going to be dealing with or what. He did mention that you're going to be dealing with some not so great things. So if you can't get your mind wrapped around that, you guys should stop now. That is why you destroy this being. This sword that you revealed at the very end of the episode is called a sun sword. It's just a bonus, a cherry on top, if you will, of what you're already getting. And I think I didn't allow any of you to look at what it was.
No.
I think only Solaris made the check. And you were just about to read what the sun sword is. Are you guys ready to start?
Let's.
All right, you dummies.
Dangerous.
So before we get into this, I need to know some information about it just for
sure.
Is it got any iconography on it, or is it just plain Jane?
It's how got played? Symbols on it. It does, going up the blade ever so slightly. You wouldn't even be able to tell normally, but you ever seen where metal is scored in a different way? And if you turn it in a certain light, you can see symbols on, scored on metal, going all the way up the blade to the tip. Kind of hard to look at, especially in your current state of between dead and alive. It's like looking at the sun. Even though you know it's not that bright for everybody else, it's for you. It's like looking at the sun a little bit. So your eyes are watering. At least that's kind of comforting. It's a natural response, bodily response.
But, also, don't forget, it's also kind of burning him at the moment.
You're not having to hold it the whole time while you're doing it. That was just so you could get a good look at it. But I'm giving you the down and low now that you've put it down and your brain is processing everything. Yeah, so the blade is made of some sort. You can't really even tell what material the blade is made out of because it looks like almost concentrated light to you. There definitely is steel underneath, and you saw the score of steel. But where the edge is and then where those symbols are different.
Like, so this thing just glows really brightly as well.
Yes. It's really fine work, masterwork of the guard and the pommel and the handle. No jewels on it decorated, but the weavings of the... It looks like gold, the guard, but that would be a soft metal and that wouldn't make sense, and you don't think it's gold. It's gold colored, whatever it is. And then the handle is wrapped in some sort of white silk.
Okay.
The symbols on it look ancient, and the design on it just gives you, it looks like an old, from an age long gone blade. It is a language on it.
But it's not one I read.
No.
Okay.
You've never seen anything like it.
All right.
I can tell you it's never even anything like, you know, nowadays, like usually Greek is tied to something, or, you know, Egyptian hieroglyphics can be tied to certain things. And, you know, like certain symbols have certain correlations depending on their time period in our world. This has no tie-in with any timeline you've ever studied. In history. Gotcha. And you're a student of history, sort of, so.
It's kind of old.
Yeah, and you're kind of old. But, and you could read off the sheet if you wish to tell people what it does. Or if you want to hold off on what it does and you're just looking at it with awe, because it's, you saw the powers of it. I'm sure you've read them, and it's a magnificent blade.
It's a sun blade. It's designed to, for the most part, kill undead. It is somewhat strange to find it here. Against evil undead will be +4. Negative planar creatures as well. As you can see, sheds light. It looks like a bastard sword, but you'll be able to handle it as if it's an extension of yourself, even if you're only versed in simple weaponry. As a better way of explaining, it's a short sword to everybody who doesn't want to wield it as a bastard sword. So you can use the same one hand with a shield. It's fine. It'll still do bastard sword damage and everything. But it's, it's not really a bastard sword. It's really a short sword in anybody else's hands. You need to be good aligned to use it. It does not accept evil people.
Well, that excludes 90% of the group.
So the dragonborn and the captain get sad suddenly. Interesting. Good to know.
There, it does something else with evil or undead. Did you read that last part after the +4?
Oh, yes. It'll do double damage and 3x damage on a critical hit.
So, you know, a bastard sword, I believe, is 1d10.
It is.
It says 2d10. Plus your strength.
Yeah. And then 3x instead of 2x on a crit.
And it crits on what, 19, 20?
Yeah.
Since it was a times two regular?
Well. I'm good aligned.
Here.
No.
No, no. Take the big axe.
Oh, I get the axe now. I found my new play toy.
Yeah, so normally against everything but evilly aligned undead, it's going to be, or and negative plane of your creatures is going to be a +2 weapon. But against them, it'll be +4.
Ooh, it's worth money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's very valuable.
Actually, it's probably in this world triple.
It is pretty odd that we would find it in such a place. Obviously, Mun Maholdi knew it was here. She put her pet to guard it. Why didn't she destroy it? Seems odd to me.
Probably can't.
It does seem like it is from an ancient time, so you might be correct, but why is it here? Why not take it elsewhere?
This was somebody else's castle.
Are you saying she found it in the
probably
tunnel of acid, decided to stick one of her guardians on it?
I think she put the creature there to guard
it. I mean, it was cased in, you know, amber. If it's from another time, it's probably from...
Right, it was cased in amber. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too.
It's probably from the original world that that the Portalborn came from. I'm just saying.
May I hold it? Says Chimerian. Her head's down, her hair's over her eyes, so hard to tell who she is, right?
I'm not touching it, that's for sure.
She's behind all you guys. Are all, I hear, this is how Marty's at least imagining it, tell me if I'm wrong. You're all kind of huddled around it right now. You're in your little, you're not around the pit anymore, by the way. You left and went back to your base. You're back at the...
Burnt shack.
Yeah, the shack. But you're all like huddled around looking at it with awe. And she's kind of behind you guys.
Before you do, one more thing. If you are evil, it will give you a negative energy level. Just, you know, something to be
aware
of.
That's presumptuous.
No, it's just a fact that I thought you should be aware of.
Not saying that you are. It's just the final telltale of the information they knew.
It is a yes or no question.
You want to touch it? So be it.
She takes hold of it. Doesn't look like it's burning her skin. Flips it in her hand a little bit, looking at it. Her eyes are still cast in shadow, like forehead to nose, bridge of the nose.
Do we know this one?
Yeah, not sure. I mean...
Well,
I don't.
I think.
No. Reen does not.
I think this is your girlfriend, man.
Yeah, he should know.
Reen.
Mm-hmm.
You are correct. This is from a time before the Portalborn were here. All who spoke the language upon this blade are dead. Or whoever knew this language is dead. Your magics won't work on it to comprehend its meaning. Nor do I know it as well. But what I read upon the blade is a hero once wielded this weapon. And this weapon had sentience. And while it still has choice and preferences, much like a newborn baby, it has no will of its own.
So it may have a purpose that we don't know of as well. Which would explain why she kept it.
The last wielder of it was changed in a horrible accident. It would never leave it in its nest.
Oh.
Whatever it is you killed was once something else. A long, long time ago.
Ooh, that's rather nasty. Made to guard his own sword after being transformed into that horrible creature.
Death is not always the worst that can happen to someone. Much, much worse is out there, Reen.
Alistair knows.
You mean Alistair?
This weapon will serve you well in your quest. And she lays it back down.
I wasn't being presumptuous, but if nobody else is diving for it,
I'll take it.
You got a gun. Back up.
I'm definitely not touching.
It does mean that you'll have to be in melee range. You can't take it and then not use it.
That's true.
Except when you deem it necessary to use a sword.
Yeah,
you would have to use it in lieu of using other things.
I'm dual wielding now, so I can put my rapier in one hand and the sunblade in my right. And
wouldn't you rather use your dagger?
My dagger's not that great.
I thought your dagger had special abilities that your rapier
does have special abilities.
Hey, it's still better than a farm tool.
It's better than
motherfuckers.
Hey, just think. I'm giving you something that you can trip with twice. It's huge. Because there's no point in me trying to wield three different weapons.
Yeah, well, there's...
Technically, you do have the Thunderer already.
Yes, I do.
And I am good.
I like how you have to say that. Like,
I do
like
want
it's
you to
a mantra at this point.
Good,
I am good. Like, you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you're like, I am good. I am a good person.
I did a good thing sleeping with her.
This sword that kills humans very effectively and hates them, it's okay because I'm using it for good.
He brought moments
all the horrible things that I have done recently, I have done for good.
I'm going to shift that to my left hand.
But you got to remember, he did a good thing. He brought a troubled woman at least 10 minutes of pleasure.
I will let you guys discuss this for about another 2 minutes. And if no decisions have been made, we're going to roll off.
All right.
So.
I think we should roll off. Like, you guys both want it. I'm not going to ask because I'm an archer. He's not going to ask for it because obviously he's evil.
No, I'm chaotic neutral. Thank you. I think that's been already discussed that I'm chaotic neutral.
You're just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What are you wielding right now?
Goldmane. But I also have the ghost touch mace.
And he's keeping that ghost.
Yeah.
So. No, if you want to use it, you can use it. But I haven't used it in the longest time. I've been
it's
using
the
gold
battle
mace.
Of the mind.
Yeah. And watch. I know what's going to happen, but let's do a roll.
You guys want to do a roll?
Percentile, right? Or just a 20? Or is it a six-sided? What do we normally roll? I forget.
You guys can roll any dice that you agree on.
You agree on, yeah. Just understand, if you roll a six-sided, there's more chance of you guys rolling the same thing. So you might as well roll a 20.
The percentiles.
Percentiles.
All right.
All right, so who gets it?
Everybody,
higher, better?
You roll at the same time, and then don't look at it.
It is obviously higher, the higher, the better.
Higher, the better.
We're don't look
up.
At it. I said don't look at it.
All right. Okay, look at it.
All right. 65.
One.
Goes to
or
the
is that
100?
I'm not sure.
Get
that's
up
odd one, right?
That's odd one.
Yeah.
Odd one.
All right, Bard.
Wow, why can't you roll good normally?
You have a probably the strongest melee weapon in the group.
But if you don't melee,
you're gonna get Hey, you can always dual wield with a gun and the sword.
Yeah, but if he doesn't melee...
He's had good experiences with using ranged weapons
using
at close range.
Melee range has a problematic history, so it's nice to have some... I've tried using the rapier-dagger combination, but...
It actually did pretty well for you, I think.
Yeah, it did.
Recently. And now I've got the rogue stab spell, so...
Ooh, is that the one that gives you...
Sneak attack?
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Because it's a short sword. That's a light weapon.
Right.
So technically, he's got a die 10 weapon that acts as a light weapon. So,
did you add it to your repertoire?
Yep. Already got it equipped.
There you go.
Nice. So you take hold of the Sun Sword Lyrium. It feels warm in your palm. You're expecting more than that. More than that. And but it feels light and natural in your hand, like a short sword would. And you can twirl around, do whatever you need to do with it. Here's, I would say, the con of this weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you sheathe it, you could still see light. It also does daylight once a day.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Oh, did I forget that? I didn't see that.
It. Yeah, you can spin it overhead and it makes actual daylight.
Well, you got to say a word.
That too. Light it glows with does shine out through the sheath to the top of it, and you think anything bad will definitely notice it right away.
Once per day, Ogier can swing the blade vigorously above while speaking a command word. The blade then sheds cool bright yellow word. Radiance and acts as a bright light and affects creatures susceptible to light if it were natural sunlight. Oh, okay, so that's when it does that. The radiance begins shining 10-foot radius around the sword and extends 5 feet per 10 rounds thereafter. Okay, so it grows by 5 feet. It starts at 10 feet and grows by 5 feet each time.
And I want you to say a command word, and if you don't come up with your own, you have to say, by the power of Grayskull, every time.
That might be it.
Illumination!
You have an obvious good weapon at your side, and you don't think just a cloak, throwing it over and hiding it on a side, it will do it with certain creatures. Most things, you know, like a normal bad, like pirate, be like, won't notice it, but...
Like, so here's the question.
Obviously, things that it goes against, evil outsiders and undead, are going to know something is up with it.
So it there's an interesting thing about this. It lasts for 10 rounds, but it fades if the wielder stops swinging the sword. Does that mean that he has to continuously swing it over his head?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you could be attacking, not just, swinging the sword, too.
No, just helicoptering.
So he's got to stand there and helicopter if
helicopter,
he wants.
Helicopter, helicopter. Is that the word?
Yeah. Maybe.
So that blade's got to be over 5,000 years old. You know, I kind of glossed over this last episode, but Teb did, you guys gave him the horn and he went off to do his thing. It kind of mentioned really fast, but...
We kind of stopped right at the sword thing.
But he was going to go take care of giving the horn to
the unknown sorceress.
The unknown sorceress. He's like, I'm going to get you scrolls. So you guys think you might have some time. Teb is off with the horn. If there's anything you want to do in this thing, or otherwise, I'm going to fast forward some time. You guys can get a rest in if you need to.
Definitely.
All right.
I thought you said get arrested if you need to. I'm like, and then Wes said definitely. I'm like, what?
Get your spells back. Get all your powers back. Whatever you need to do. I'll consider everybody fully healed at this time.
Yep.
Cool. Let's move the shit show along. Teb returns. It doesn't look like he slept all night while you guys have been... resting yourselves.
Sounds like a personal problem.
I have the scrolls. Hand you a scroll box. You look inside. There's 7 scrolls. She mentioned she put a rune of understanding on each one of them. She said if you had spellcasters, you would know what that mean. Very skilled magic users can put a symbol of understanding. They're actually pretty tough to do. So she must be accomplished for the... I'm just giving the spellcraft that they're worrying about the roll. It makes it so it's much easier to cast even if you don't have the ability to do it.
Gosh.
Off of it. You have to have some magical training. Like a dumbass off the street can't read it. But somebody with some magical training can read. Makes the check easier.
Well, that's everybody in the group but one.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, I have arranged a meeting. It's taken some time. We're going to meet with the city's quartermaster. She is responsible for all the shipments from Volsharaz to Paradisia. It's important to understand she's one of the three leaders of this city. You killed this tentacled thing, which is impressive, but she is not to be trifled with. We will be screened before we enter for hostile intentions, and our weapons that are seen will be confiscated. Or is there any confusion with this? Or is there a problem?
No.
This thing is not to be trusted.
Could you acquire for me a bow to be seen?
You just want a standard bow?
Well, it would be better if it was convincing. I only need to borrow it. I need to give them something. And you should all prepare weapons.
He stops you guys right there. I don't know what you guys are planning. I don't want to hear your intentions. I am just telling you what I know. We are going to be screened for our intentions. This creature, as I said, controls everything in and out of the city. She was directly put in charge by Mun Mahuldi herself. I will leave you to prepping and planning. But this should be the last stage of what we need to get done here in the city. If we fuck this up, there is no sneaking into the carts that are magically sealed. And he puts up air quote, tampered proof items that are brought into the city. I'll leave you to your day. I'm going to get some sleep. I'll see you in the evening. And he leaves.
Since it's a screening process, we should be pretty much ready to not do a battle, but be prepared in case it happens.
Exactly.
We should put all our actual weapons in the bag, roll the bag up tight, and stick it in somebody's pants.
But we also need to work on perception of our intention. Depending on what is said during screening, it could result in anger and intentions being brought out.
We intend to talk to the woman. That should be our foremost intent.
No. But if she is based for Mun Mahuldi, but she is...
We shouldn't think too much about whether or not she will attack us. Because that will give us an intent.
No. I'm going to focus on just getting to working at a forge. Being able to work at a magnificent forge is going to be my intention. So everybody needs to focus on their attention, prepare it, and stay focused on it, regardless of the questions that come across. I'm not sure what the screening process is going to be beyond that. May not even ask a question. May just be a mind reader.
Could just be a zone of truth.
That too.
Yeah.
Just focus on food. Green. I don't think we're going to have to worry too much about Chimerian, because most things don't affect her.
That could be another reason to worry about her.
But it could just mean no intention at all. She does search for knowledge, so information.
Yeah, it kind of depends which one of her is on the surface. Yeah, we need to get,
which one is the book nerdy one?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Tava.
Tava. We need to try and get Tava out. She's always searching for a library. She loves libraries.
Is it just the four of you guys talking right now? Or
No, we're talking as a group.
Oh, so you're just talking about Chimerian like she's not in a room?
No. I mean, she hasn't said anything because you wasn't here.
That's fair. She is in the room. But, you look at
I mean,
her.
We would look at her and be like, Chimerian, probably.
She still has that cloud above her. Not literal cloud, but.
Yeah, that little gloomy feeling.
That gloomy feeling over her. Her hair is.
So the Wednesday look.
Her hair is darker. It's not flowing. It's straight and it's down. And she's looking out, even though you're. Little apartment here has no open windows. It's all boarded up and everything. She's looking out a window with boards covering it.
She's scrying somebody. I'll go over and I'll take her by the hand.
Cold.
This mission that we're about to do. It's a screening. Don't know what it's going to entail. Would it be all right if Tava comes out? Comes out for this.
Could Tava come out and play?
Who?
Okay. That triggered Yuri's brain. She don't know about the others. They're blocked off. Can you just be on your best behavior?
Of course.
I do appreciate it. Big eyes want to turn around like, oh, fuck. Might have screwed that up. And I look at Bedmora. You're good. I trust you. Once we finally get through this step and everything goes well, next step is Paradisia. You gotta remember, we gotta find your contact on the inside. That guy that you had your thing with, Solaris.
Roche? Or Roche? What was it again, Marty? Because I'm confusing it with somebody else.
Ricky?
Ricky Bobby?
No, Baby Jesus. Baby Jesus.
Relg.
I like to imagine him Relg. Wearing one of those t-shirts with a tuxedo. Says, I'm formal, but I like to party.
The name is Relg.
Relg.
But anyway, we'll need to figure out how to get in contact with him.
He says he has a laboratory.
Ooh.
I don't know exactly what that means, but that may...
Yeah, it could be a good laboratory. It could be a bad one.
Remember you guys had a cute exchange, yeah. And he was like, come to my laboratory. He's like, wait.
He was a bit self-conscious about that fact. So I don't think it's necessarily bad.
No, I'm
maybe
glad
he just
that
wants
you,
to get you there.
I just want everybody to be careful on this mission. This is going to be the most dangerous place we've gone into yet.
I would say the dangers are different.
Yeah, this is hard to get into and probably most impossible to get out.
That night, or that evening, sun is setting. Tab returns. He's got 6 cloaks he's holding. Look on his face. You know what? I'll get a sense motive.
I have no idea. Okay. He looks normal to me. He looks a little happy.
28.
Sorry, one at a time?
28.
23. Okay.
Where did you get a 28? You have points and sense motive?
Mm-hmm.
Don't like to be lied to.
15.
Apparently.
All right. Lyrium and Reen, he is scared. He's trying to hide it, but he is nervous.
So this is where the two that notice make noise. Because the ones that didn't notice don't do nothing. We're like, hey, Tib. And that's it.
Caw-caw!
So, cue the notifiers.
And he's handing each of you a rope, and then he turns to...
You seem a little antsy.
Yes.
You have a date?
No, it's...
Constipation?
Individual is paranoid, and this could go one of many ways. And I'm a calculating person. And there's too much calculations. I mean, you predict what's going to happen. I barely know you all, in all actuality. So we'll see.
Well, we would like very much to be prepared. So we would very much like some basic weapons we can hand over.
The more we talk here.
Let's just get going.
I know you just did the exact same thing I did the first time. Later.
I know.
We've already discussed this. We're not going with weapons. All weapons are going in the bag. We're going empty-handed.
Yes.
We're going with the least amount of intentions of hostility as possible. Teb requires no extra information. Therefore, he doesn't have any intentions.
Yep. So, no weapons.
We intend to talk to this person, but we would like to know something about her. You said it was she, correct?
Yeah.
Was or is?
I think she's a she. So you never really seen her fully. Female voice. How about that?
That'll work. Let's go make a friend.
All right. He leads you through the city. You guys wear the cloaks that he gave you. Heads down. And nothing seems to bother you guys. You do see, at one point, a maiden waiting. Skulking across another block. Away from you guys, but it makes you guys
We give her the finger eyes.
Watching you. I get a little sour stomach feeling.
Yeah, same here.
But other than the maiden waiting, you don't see another soul on the streets.
Man, this town is run very well with fear.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to a very large building on the lake. It's got docks and some small boats attached to it. It's got dozens of wagons all around it. From the outside looking in on one half of this building, it looks like a warehouse where somebody would be importing and exporting of goods on one half of this building. And then the other half, which is made of stone, looks a mix between an office building and a house. Luxurious, but official. And Teb knocks on a large oak door. A shutter in the middle, about eye level, opens. You don't see anything on the other side of it. Just darkness, even with your dark vision there, Solaris.
He has mine too?
Whoever. He has it.
I have nothing on the other side. And then closes back, and you hear a latch, and Teb opens the door.
I think Lyrium has dark vision as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have low light.
Before you, stretching out for over 60 feet is a 10-foot wide hallway with bars to the left and bars to the right for at least 50 feet of it.
Wow.
Yep.
To the left and right, through the doors, or through the bars, not in the hallway, are dozens upon dozens on each side, ghouls, zombies, and skeletons.
What are they doing? Hanging out?
Looking at you with their unearthly, undead eyes. Like in anticipation, like all it takes is a word and they will attack. But the bars are between you and them. Teb breathes in, breathes out, and continues down the hallway. Do you follow?
Green follows.
Yep.
Actually, Lyrian's a melee guy now. You want him up front?
Yeah. Put him up front.
All right, cool.
He's not merely empty-handed.
Just kidding. All right, so who wants to be up front? Otherwise, I'm going to assume.
I'll do it.
All right. So I was
someone that could soak a lot of damage.
That would be, yeah.
Me and Reen.
I've got the highest armor class.
You move forward. Does creature still look at you to the left and right? You smell the rot of their bodies.
Out of character, I'm going.
None
How
of
you
them
doing,
are...
friend? How you doing?
You being cocky,
I'm just imagining you doing the Star Wars, or not, Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Spider-Man 3, like, what's up? Like, doing the dance.
What's up, guys?
Oh,
we're going
who's
with
carrying
our
the bag of holding? Is it Yuri?
Yeah.
Okay. You feel the bag humming a little.
It's not good.
Making you self-conscious, of course. But the creatures, they all are just looking at you with their undead eyes, like they want to eat you, until you get to this person slash creature. We'll put it up.
I'm a snack.
Yeah, you are. I've always said that about you.
A little less of a snack these days, but yes. I was like, say, what the heck happened? We went into a drinking game.
A skeletal creature. No, not an ounce of flesh on it.
Another bodak?
No. It's a skeletal creature with not an ounce of flesh on it. Didn't you hear my description?
I'm trying to remember bodak look like a skeletal creature, too.
You are obsessed with bodaks, by the way. Yeah. I have noticed every single thing I've mentioned is like, is that a bodak? Is that a bodak?
It's Skeletor,
something,
man.
Something is stuck out of Bobby. Bobby does not like bodaks.
No, I do not. Them things... I'm the one that got affronted by the sucker.
All right. This skeletal creature is before you.
The way Skeletor should have looked.
Yes, I agree.
Its rib cage is exposed, but it looks like it was wearing long gone robes.
And it says,
He-Man! I feel bad for him. He didn't go to the prom because he had nobody to go with.
The exception of this creature, besides the picture, I could not find a picture with this in it, is it has an additional socket for an eyeball in the middle of its forehead. Like it was a three-eyed creature at one time.
Triclops. Nice.
And it bids you closer.
Come closer.
Beyond this creature, you see wares and goods in various boxes in an open room behind it. Directly behind it on its right is a door, and to its left is another door. In front of it is a large ledger with a crystal ball resting on cushion. Its hand is upon the crystal ball as it bids you all closer.
Step closer.
Step closer.
Tab to Lee. Its jaw doesn't move or anything like that. It just, you hear it out in the hallway, echo through the hallway.
It's a ventriloquist skeleton.
These are the living creatures you spoke to us about. They are. Quartermaster awaits. Discard all weapons in the barrel. He gestures to each of you, and there's a couple barrels next to him. Does anybody drop anything in anything?
Actually, yeah, I dropped my dagger that I made because I forgot to take it off.
I already told them that weapons were not appropriate for this meeting. Good. Now open your minds. And it, you hear like the sound of bone across glass as it on the crystal ball, and you feel a probe for each and every one of you. Is anybody fighting it or just kind of letting it happen?
I guess we're just I'm letting it happen.
Yeah, I'm not fighting it. I'm just focusing on an image of Rain banging a female centaur.
Okay. Does anybody have any intentions of killing this thing?
No.
Killing it? Have hostilities here?
No. I'm just flexing my wing, kind of like flexing the wings a little bit where my mind's at.
And then you feel for a sense of deception. And now I need each of you to make a will save.
Oh, God. Anything but a will save.
Why not like a bluff roll?
He said anything but a will save.
Let me make sure I don't have any adjustments on.
Ooh.
That's not good.
I think Eerie got it again. Bev Moore crushed it. Uh-oh.
Mm.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that one.
Marion.
I got 31.
Okay.
35.
Jesus, all right.
I thought my 27 was pretty good. Until people 27. Start talking about 35s.
Reen.
13.
And the creature's gaze falls on you, Reen.
Would you roll?
You are the weakest link.
Goodbye.
Total?
Well, I rolled a 7. I have a +6 will. I can't add bravery into this.
I'd just say penis. Right. And
yeah.
Automatically penis, start penis, thinking penis. Of
penises. You have a secret you're bringing into this meeting. What are you hiding? And it starts probing more. Another will save? As the bag starts popping up in your head unintentionally.
Yeah. I'm trying to hide that fact, so... 18 this time.
You're fighting better back. And you hear out loud, "There is nothing to see." Behind you guys. And now I must make a will save.
Oh, you know who that was.
And you feel the probe stop, Reen. And its hand comes off the glass ball and it starts heading towards the door. That voice you heard was... the voice you've heard.
On your night of love.
Religion check for a few of you, or whoever has it.
I don't.
I actually have it.
That is so messed up. I rolled really good. So
I did not.
It's a
34.
It's a base check, so
28.
Yeah, I got 11. I got 11. I meet the base.
The thought that occurs to you guys as it's opening the door and letting you guys through is... what is one of the key things of being undead gives you immunity to?
Yeah, mind.
Mind control.
Huh.
So that was either fear.
Well, no, but you can, well, with the exception of very powerful undead, which that probably is, you can be commanded, though, magically. There is a spell for that.
You are
or she
led
kind
through,
of mind blanked the subject and it went, oh, there's nothing there.
You're led through a series of corridors, 10 by 10, one door, then another. led first north through a corridor, then another hallway, and then north to another door. I'm going to expose the room. I'm going to expose myself.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, guys, Billy.
I'll put you in the room.
Only those that are old enough will get that reference.
And the room barely took its top off. I don't know if it's that expensive.
Look, there is a Bodok in there.
Bobby has been waiting for a Bodok for a while. Let's see. Yeah, that's Bodok. Just enough to tease you with it.
It is.
All right. Let me get you guys all over there. All right. You leave that whole corridor of undeath behind. And that strange skeletal creature that was reading your minds also stays behind. And when you guys are walking through the hallway all by yourselves, just being led by Teb. Teb looks back at, like, what the fuck was that? Like, look. He didn't say it, but he's, like, looking back, like, what the hell was that? Back at you guys.
You still out of character. Spider-Man, point fingers at you, buddy.
All right. I will let you guys, as you enter this room, I'm going to describe the whole thing and what's in it. And you guys can actually offline discuss where you're going to be standing, because you're going to naturally do it anyway. And then let me know when you're standing in this room. There is a...
Marty's like, don't fight this person. Don't fight this person. This is obviously a place you're going to fight.
Perhaps. It's obviously a place that...
Go ahead and position yourselves for combat.
This is a place that can go very wrong. How about that? there is... See what the spot thing right here?
Mm-hmm.
It's a wall with circular holes. They're about a foot in diameter like this. Like portholes. At all different levels, like a honeycomb.
Portholes.
All right, as you enter the room, it's estimated or approximately 60 foot by 40 foot. Very extravagantly decorated. On the walls are paintings of orgies and other really artistic sense of debauchery. If you will.
Larium's at home.
Yep.
And in certain places of the room is scattered is open crates, open for inspection and such like that, but not littered throughout the room, just certain things. On the east side, you guys are approximately in the center of the room as you come up from the south. On the east side of the room is a honeycombed wall with portholes around 1 foot in diameter, enough for a head to poke through. About 20 of them scattered throughout that wall at different directions. Also on the east side, the southeast side, is a desk with a woman standing behind it. And she looks like a deformed sheem, half lizard, half person. But where it's person, it's really person. And where it's sheem, it's really sheem. It's like not a very good blend of each one of them.
Like somebody used magic to smush these two people together?
And her left arm, which is resting on her right breast, like somebody would with the injury, she must have 10 fingers on her left hand of lizardy grossness. Get her picture out for you?
Hey, that's a high rate accountant, though.
He's been generated with AI.
It was that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to add it for this one. I actually was just going to use a lizard person, and I just was screwing around, and this was the first image that came up, and I thought it was neat. There you are.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, like I've told you.
But it's neat looking, right? Like, I was like, it looks like a deformity.
It's just so many fingers. On
it is.
AI. I love it.
But she is on the east side behind a desk and a large ledger, like a scribe, maybe? And to the directly behind you guys on the west side wall, you have recognized Bobby's favorite creature, a Bodak.
And you got my other one I hate.
And to north of it, a Bodak's the elongated alien skeletal head looking thing. And north of that is that skeletal creature with its intestines coming out of its mouth in a tongue-like fashion. The morgue. And then two of those fiery ghoul. I think they're actually called gulls. and I've been mispronouncing them. That's actually spelled G-H-U-L. They're not exactly ghouls. That's why they don't have the paralyzing touch. Hmm. I think I'm just stupid. And I realized that this is a different kind of undead creature. The ones with the fiery fingers and that kind of.
Okay.
Their powers are all still the same. It's just, I don't think they're technically a ghoul. A ghoul. You can see my confusion. And Teb steps all the way across the room to the northern side wall and gestures you guys to stand in this approximate area before the honeycomb holes.
I'll step forward.
All right. Yuri's up forward here. About right there again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Solaris and Reen are going to be over there on the Bodak Morgue side.
You guys want to be next to Yuri, who has the bag?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'll be in that last little corner.
I've got my bow and my quiver. It's an extra dimensional space. It soars it.
Oh. How does that work?
It's called Sphincter.
It's the quiver of many arrows. It also carries, it has room for like six spears or bow-sized items, apparently it says.
Chimerian just stays at the door.
She's just like, I am ready to leave.
She knows something we don't know, but we fear is true. But this
Grand Quartermaster, says Deb, I have brought to you the ones you've been looking for. Any motions to you guys?
And the pit of my stomach, that just sounded like we got sold out.
That was problematic phrasing.
I'll take a half step forward.
Thank you, Teb, for bringing them before me. Our mistress will be most pleased. Who do I speak with this night?
It's a voice beyond those holes, and it's moving around like... You hear that echoing throughout the holes, and they're in different holes at one time.
What up?
I don't think it's just the Yanchi. I think it's a literal snake that is talking.
Oh, my Lord.
As long as it ain't Meraxia, I'm okay. I'm like, what's behind the wall? I'm Yuri Darwin.
You have a flashback of Carver when you first said your name coming out of that cart, and chills go up your spine.
Yeah, because it went to shit after that.
Even Bev Mora visibly like flinches too.
And the rest of you, or are you minions to this Darwin?
I'm Solaris Othvan.
Othvan.
Looks it.
Dragonborn.
Reen Valentine.
Out of character, I'd like to interject. He was not born this way. He was resurrected. Motion noted. Motion accepted.
Understood.
Right, he means reincarnated, but
there you go.
And I am just the humble bard Lyrium Blacktree.
I give you the
biggest...
I feel
like there's more to it than
that. I give you the biggest...
Are you sure you don't have more titles?
It doesn't seem like a braggy situation.
I looked at you like, you motherfucker.
No Lord Captain? No Admiral?
I'm just Bev. She just does the like, quick hand. And he doesn't seem to look at Chimerian and goes back to you.
Chimerian has a nonsense me detection around her. She's like in the corner going, got this.
Why have you come to our valley? Kill our minions and my mistress's favorite pet. Its torture was...
Makes like a suckling noise.
Divine.
You're not sure which hole to look in, but you see eyes every now and then in a hole or another.
Man, this almost like the spider lady that was under fucking Carver's camp.
Idea of what this thing is?
Sure. You have an exceptional spot check, so I'll give you what you're going to get, because it's pretty much based. You're based.
Okay.
You do see scales and something slithering on the other side.
It's a lamia.
And you do see a woman's face.
Naga.
All I remember it because I've played games with so many of those things.
I know, yeah, man. I'm impressed because I'd forgotten that was an option.
You wanted a spot check, but she did ask you a question. Well, why have you killed her pets? The pets of her favorite pet. That thing, remember, she's been suffering for eternity. They loved it because of its suffering.
The pet started it.
That's all you're saying.
Yeah.
That's it. You are lying. Act. Something is off here. This might not be as easy as I believed.
We have not been lying. We have been standing in front of you, putting out our hearts.
We are an open bag.
Teb, what have you done?
He's thinking her eyes are falling on Teb, and he's just like trying to look as innocent as possible.
Kill them.
Bags open.
Next week.